time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone, bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews, and weekly giveaways. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
Welcome back, Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We have the one and only Brian Falconer here in the studio, the Cigar Talk co-host. How are you doing, Brian?
Man, I'm doing good. Doing good.
Nice, man. So it's been a little, I haven't seen you since last week when we recorded.
Yeah, that's true.
So what have you been up to, man?
Work.
Well, I know last weekend, though, you took your wife down to Arlington.
Yes, sir.
Y'all went out to some fancy places to eat.
Yeah, fuck Kobe.
Huh?
I'm not saying.
Oh, faux Kobe.
Yeah, no, it's pho.
Pho Kobe?
Yeah. P-H-O is pho.
Have you seen, they have some of those that are like the faux king.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Welcome to faux king.
Yeah, it's really king.
Pho. Yeah, yeah, I got you. So how was that?
That was great, man.
Kobe. Yeah. The Kobe beef?
Kobe beef.
How was that? I've never had it.
It's great, man. It's expensive, but it's great.
But I mean, can you definitely tell the difference?
Oh, hell. Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
I had to remember which show we were on.
Yeah, we're on the regular show.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I've never had it. I'd like to, but, you know, I will say this. The best steak I've ever had was the dry-aged steak that Sean brought us.
Yeah,
that was
the
top tier. I mean, you know, because, you know, I'm just a poor old white boy. You know,
dude, you are not. Now, you may have grown up that way. That's not you anymore.
Well,
you're not extravagant. No, you're just blue collar.
I smoke a lot of cigars.
Blue collar.
I could probably be more well off
if
I was not a cigar smoker.
If you were not the cigar smoker that you are.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you a little secret, though.
What is that?
Today at 3 o'clock.
1500 or 03?
1500.
Okay.
I had only smoked one cigar today.
How?
Because I worked my butt off in the yard.
I was just going to say, Miss B had to have you handcuffed some kind
dude
of way.
It was crazy. In fact, at like 2:30, I told my wife, I was like, you realize I've only had one cigar today. I'm going to take a shower and then I'm going to go smoke a cigar. So I probably started at about 2:30.
Gotcha.
I came out here. Flipped on the Cowboy game, and
you really needed a cigar and a drink.
You know what?
And a therapist.
I didn't even watch the rest of the game. I didn't even watch. I turned it on. They were down 20, or they were down 3-25, and
then you saw the hit.
For the 5-10 minutes I watched, I was like, "This is like if you're a Jets fan, a Cleveland Browns fan,
Detroit Lions,
Detroit." Wow. Well, even though Detroit came back and won today,
sure did.
So almost
that was
like
too much time,
dude. Atlanta, dude, and Gurley.
He tried. He tried.
Dude, come on.
He tried. He really did.
He should have just went down in the line.
He just tried.
Yeah.
But he was still, his momentum was still carrying him. He was trying to just, he wanted his legs to just come from up under him, but they kept going out. And he was like.
Well, you know, it's hard to not do what you're trained to do.
Oh, yeah.
So
can say that.
Anyway, enough about football.
Well,
how did you guys play today?
Oh, not yet.
Oh, when do y'all play? Tonight or tomorrow?
Probably tonight. Or
we
don't worry about it.
Who are y'all playing? Do you know?
We're not playing the Cowboys, so we may have to fight to win.
It's not a gimme. Is that what you're saying?
We're not playing the Cowboys, so it's not a gimme.
If you compare,
are we playing New England?
Oh
yeah, England. Oh. Yeah, this is Garoppolo goes back to New England.
That'd be a test.
Yeah,
that'd be a test. That'd be a good game
because you know Belichick knows him, so you know he's going to devise a defense to stop him.
Yeah,
because he knows everything about him. I mean, he straight came out of college right there and said, how many years was he there? Six?
If that's on tonight, we should watch it.
Yeah, because that's gonna be
what's
something.
What's your curfew tonight?
I'm not gonna be ignorant, but because
you'll be home before 2. You'll be home before 2. So anyway, let's get on to our Patreons and tell everybody, you know, we're so thankful for our Patreons. They make this show possible. And we just want to say thank you, man. I mean, it's an honor to that we have the supporters that we have, and we do the pre-show for the Patreons, as our producer Luke is over there going, hey, don't forget the pre-show. We do a pre-show almost every week, but when we didn't do the one. Yeah, we didn't do a pre-show the last 2 weeks because our producer, Luke Jones, had no, he did not have COVID. He was exposed directly to COVID, and he was quarantined for 14 days. Yeah. And I tried to do the video.
That was a try, dude.
I sat over there for
I
sat over there for an hour
and just destroyed stuff.
I couldn't figure it out.
Larry showed up and called him John Travolta, said he was the bubble boy.
yeah the video part, I don't know how to do it. It's all Luke, we get it. So we want to say thank you to the Patreons. We do the pre-show for them, and we try to do a lot of other stuff for them, but they are the backbone of Cigar Talk. So we just want to say thank you to all you guys.
Thank you.
And in case you don't know, all of our episodes going forward are also on YouTube. So you'll be able to watch or listen or both.
See, I get a chance to listen and see the asshole and the knucklehead.
Yeah, so if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button. Yes. Make sure you hit the little ring a bell so you know when a new episode comes out. And we're going to try to grow the YouTube channel, so we need your help to do that.
Most definitely.
Even if you're not a big YouTube guy, you could go by and subscribe. We're going to be doing, on the future episodes, we've got some new equipment ordered. We are actually going
to
put
thanks up to the Patreons again,
the list of cigars during the show, so you can actually pull that up on the YouTube channel, and you can see what we're smoking. And by the way, what we're smoking, let's talk about what you're smoking. That's a special stick.
Yes, KC from
KC Leaf. Sunshine.
KC from the Leaf gave me a Tatoue RC Series 223. I think it's 223. Nine and a half.
Nice. So what are you drinking over there?
Right now, I'm drinking some
Larceny. So we got Big Larry in the studio. He's hanging out, smoking cigars, and cat calling in the background. And so he brought some Larceny, which was rated by, was that Wine's List? Wine enthusiast as a top 10 bourbon for under $40, and he picked it up out at the military base for $26.
Class six, baby.
So I'm gonna tell you, it's really good. I'm getting a lot of caramel, getting some spices.
Did you see that he said caramel? And I was getting ready to say caramel. What is the correct pronunciation of that word?
You know what, caramel.
Ah, thank you.
But when I say carameled apples,
You
don't
out
say caramel apples. Yes, you do. Yes, you do?
Yeah, you straight out of Texas, bro.
I am out of Texas. Yeah,
straight out of Texas. It's ass, not
but let
ice.
Me tell you something.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
Right.
You know, I also lived in St. Louis.
You visited.
I did, and let me tell you something.
And they knew where you were from.
When I went up there,
is the question I want to know.
The ladies loved the Texas accent.
Yeah, because it was different.
It was way different.
Way different. It was like,
dude, I dated a young girl while I was up there, and her mother was the vice president of Anheuser-Busch. I don't know what her name was. I don't remember. But
no,
anyway,
just trying to think, because,
dude, we got box seats for the games.
Everything.
And, you know, the funny thing is, we went to go to one of the games, and, like, in the fourth inning, she was like, all right, let's go. And I was like, whoa, what?
I'm here for the game. Yes, I love all these extras, but I'm here for the game.
Right. And, dude, in the ninth inning, it was tied. Bottom of the ninth. I don't remember who was up to bat, but there was somebody on third. There's two outs. He cracks a hit, and the bat breaks. The ball and half of the bat go spinning at the pitcher. He dives out of the way of the broken bat, and the guy runs home and wins the game. And I was like, and you wanted to leave in the fourth?
Yeah, she wanted
spoiled
to
girl.
The
spoiled yeah, girl. Definitely. Yeah, and you know what? That's why
she was part of the Bush clan,
we didn't jive.
Because they, yeah.
Hey, I remember going over to their house, and her younger brother, that was probably like 13 or 14, had three Michael Jordan rookie cards.
Yeah. My mother's friend was a doctor at one time, and she had let her practice go because she had got you know, up in age. No, up in age. But she was contracted to be August Bush's sister's caretaker. She was her nurse. And everywhere she went, Miss Deb went. I mean, flew. They had a private helicopter just for them. They had a private plane just for them. Everything that they did, it was like she had to go with her. So she saw the world riding with this 90-year-old woman, making sure that she made it back home.
Oh, that's cool.
But she made over $200,000 a year.
Well, that's more than I make.
Just for one patient.
Yeah. Well, because you're really more of a helpmate.
Yeah, you're everything for
yeah.
me. Everything for her.
So, anyway, hey, let's get on to our sponsors.
Most definitely.
We have, I'm going to say right now, out of all the cigar shows out there, we have the best sponsors.
I'm 100% with you on that.
We have McAuliffe,
yes,
which not only produces top quality cigars, but they support the industry. They support their brick and mortars. They take care of their ambassadors. They take care of the consumers. They listen to them. Yes. They inform them. Yes. And they're so transparent. Mm-hmm. Everything that they do is transparent.
Yep.
And so I can't wait to see where McAuliffe is even 6 months from now.
I love it when we're on that the Facebook page, the ambassador's page, and somebody says, oh, I can't find them here. And Dan asks, immediately, Dan asks, where you at?
Boom.
Where you at? Well, hold on. Just wait.
Yeah, we'll start working on that.
Hold on. Just wait. That's taking care of your consumer.
Right. And they ditched Cigar International.
Yeah, they did.
In a great way. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of heard the backstory to that, and I was just like, that's putting your money where your mouth mm-hmm. is. That's not just talking the talk. That's walking the walk. And if you remember back in 1993, Jimmy Johnson said, you know, I got to come through with some glory.
He said that hair gel was better than spray.
So, hey, now, you got to give it to Jimmy Johnson. Dude had some hair.
No, he had concrete up there. It's still in the same form. That's a great foundation.
Never moved.
He had the master mason do that.
Never moved.
Today, when he's on television, you look at that hair is still the same. Yes, hasn't moved.
So, if you haven't become a McAuliffe ambassador, go by our webpage, look down in the show notes, click on the link, go over, sign up to be an ambassador. They send you a coin, and you'll have your own personal number. Bryant's number came out before my number, which is ridiculous because I got my coin before he got his.
Swag, baby, swag.
But Bill White, Bill White, yeah, number 65.
Bye.
Number 65.
Bye. He cheated. He in New York. I want to know.
I want to know somebody. If you have an ambassador coin lower than 65 and you do not work for McAuliffe,
yeah,
email me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to
see that too.
Yeah.
So I really want to see that.
That would be awesome. Hey, so anyway, guys, our next sponsor that we love, I mean, talk about living the American dream.
Club 500.
You have Viva La Vida Cigars, artisanal tobacco, blended by AJ Fernandez. You're talking about the American dream lived out by brothers who came to America, opened up a cigar shop, and then sold it. Because they wanted to dive in to another part of the cigar industry, and they made an immaculate cigar.
Most definitely.
So hats off to them, and that's actually going to be our giveaway this week. So here's what we want to do, guys. We're going to get away from our regular giveaway this week, and what we're going to do is if you're out there and you want to join in, we're going to give away a Cigar Talk Travel Humidor. It holds 5 cigars. I'll show it on the, here you go. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, it's upside down. There you go. Right there. And yes, sir. Oh, by me. There we go. Hey.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Wow. That's
travel.
All I can say. Wow.
It's like a carrot.
No, you didn't look that way.
So anyway, we're giving away a Cigar Talk Travel Humidor. We've got a couple of our cigars talk. We have the old school sticker.
Yes.
And the new sticker on it. It holds 5 cigars, and it's great for traveling.
Most definitely.
So anyway, what we want you to do is go to Instagram, post your pictures of photos of Viva La Vida, and
something
you have to tag Artisanal Tobacco and tag Cigar Talk Rob and Cigar Talk Bryant.
Yes.
And then we're going to randomly select photos, and then whoever the winner is, we're going to send them that travel humidor. Yeah,
with a little, few extra little...
A little something, something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a good friend of mine, Jeff Richardson, always says, I'm going to send you a little something, something. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's,
you're going to be happy.
You're going to be delighted. Delighted. So anyway, blow up Instagram with Viva La Vida and Cigar Talk.
Well, I'm glad you got to finish that sentence.
Right?
Blow up.
Boom. Blow up, baby. Blow them up.
Got the feds listening to us.
So
now. Blow.
Anyway.
They blowing up.
So anyway, and then that brings us to our local brick and mortar.
Another American story.
Dude.
Yes.
Dude. Well, you say an American story. We got a Hawaiian guy.
Yes.
That's American.
America.
So we have two of the greatest owners of a cigar shop here in Abilene, Texas. You have Corey. You have Jay. Mm-hmm. And then you have the staff of Scott. And I heard soon Dwayne is coming back.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I didn't, but I'm glad to hear that.
I can't
that,
wait to see Dwayne
there.
Dwayne is like the pillar of the cigar community that we've been missing.
Most definitely.
And don't get me wrong, Scott is a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But when you see Dwayne at the cigar shop, you just feel like you're home.
Oh, most definitely. And he has a wealth of knowledge in more than one avenue. Because me and him sitting back having those police talks.
Yeah, because he's a former police guy.
Yes, and then he's a arms instructor. He's the guy at, a shooting range. You know, it's he has his hands in a lot of
cookie
things.
Jars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's a wealth of knowledge. Just sit back and just listen.
And I've heard that he's doing really well. And I don't know how old Dwayne is, but he's a little bit older gentleman. And we've heard he's had some health issues, but we hear that he's doing a lot better. So we're excited to get him back in the shop.
Yes, sir.
And then let's talk about the shop. Dude. I mean, don't get me wrong. We all loved the old shop.
Yeah.
It was home. It was comfortable.
Yes.
But the new level, in fact, me and Larry were sitting back in the back in the VIP lounge, and just the level of comfort, the space, air purification, it's like he's not kicked it up a notch. He's kicked it up about 10 notches.
Yeah. It's to the 10th level, man. Everything about it. From the front room.
The front room, the accessories, the cigars. Let's talk about the humidor, dude.
You walk
into the Taj Mahal.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Because walk in, and first of all, it's completely lined in cedar.
You open
the
door.
The entire room.
You open the door, you hear angels.
Oh, and dove fly out. Yeah, it's something special.
It is, man.
And so we just want to say, if you haven't had the opportunity to go by The Leaf, it is at 1166 North 2nd Street.
Yes, sir.
And go by, check it out. It's a great lounge. It's a great place to pick up cigars. And, you know, during this time of COVID, you know, you do wear a mask when you go in. And you wear a mask when you go in the humidor.
That's correct.
But then when you sit down and smoke, you take your mask off.
Yeah.
We social distance, and we just have a great fellowship with other cigar smokers. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. And I tell you what, man, I didn't realize how I became so, you know, lonely for the cigar community. You know what I mean? Because
until you get back there.
Well, because The Leaf had to close except for curbside for a long time.
Yes,
what,
sir.
5 months?
Yep.
6 months? And so now that it's open again, it's just like, it's a place of refuge.
Yeah, that was about March when they closed the doors. They had to. So you're looking at now they just opened up. And then it's just... It's the opportunity, as you said, to get back to that cigar community, man. You didn't know you missed it until it was gone. And then you get back, you're like, oh, this is what I was missing.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of guys, well, you know, like you, Larry, Ed, Paul. I've hung out and smoked with you guys throughout the 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people at the shop that I haven't seen in five or six months. Yeah, I came and hung out with us last Saturday night. It was great. Alan Turner.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know Alan's working at The Leaf?
No.
Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
Right. Dude, we had a great time.
Ah.
You know, the Leaf, I don't know. I don't even know what time they close, but he let us stay in the VIP room pretty late.
That is cool, man.
Alan's a great person to have.
That's the community, man.
Exactly.
Ah, that's cool. I got to find myself up there on a Saturday night, man.
Well, you're going to have to start coming Saturday mornings at 10.
That was already sent out to me.
Yeah. That is spot on. I don't remember. We 6 weeks? 7 weeks? We've been meeting probably 6 or 7 weeks on Saturday mornings for coffee and cigars. Uh-huh. And if you guys don't know, the Leaf has the best coffee on the planet. Yeah, In fact, I got another pound today. This last Saturday, they had their regular coffee up front, which is what I drink.
Yeah.
But in the back, they had some decaf that, you know, Larry only drinks decaf because he's old. And he loved it.
I got you.
I don't even remember what it's called. Do you remember? Vanilla bourbon. Mm. And the funny thing is, the guys who were drinking that were also pouring some bourbon in it. In fact,
it might have been just vanilla.
Scott and Jay were actually having breakfast when I got there, and they were using a maple syrup, Knob Creek maple smoked bourbon as their
beverage.
As the syrup? As the syrup on the pancakes.
Wow.
And they told me it was phenomenal.
Wow.
I've never had that.
Wow.
I was kind of like.
That takes me back to college. Captain Crunch and Budweiser.
Now that sounds disgusting.
Man, see, I don't milk. See, you got to eat it some kind of way.
Knob Creek maple syrup bourbon and pancakes sounds good.
Way better than
Budweiser and Captain Crunch. That makes me think of whenever I was 19.
I was a student athlete in college. Yes, sir. 19 years old. I'm
wow.
Eat what I can.
No, thank you.
Dude, I was a ramen noodle connoisseur.
Oh, I remember the ramen noodles. Dude, the ramen noodles, and then I would go to the grocery store when I was like 18 and I was moved out, and I would go to the grocery store and I would buy a sub sandwich about this big.
And cut it in slices.
And I would cut it into four sections, and that was lunch for four days.
Yes,
and
sir.
It was only $4.
Yes, sir. Could eat well.
What'd I say about being a poor white boy? I was poor. Man, I was poor.
See, that's the difference. I was po. You were
poor. I was poor. You were po.
I was po.
So
I had to make do, man.
So anyway, also, if you look down in the show notes, you'll have the phone number to contact the Leaf. If you need to order some McAuliffe cigars, you need to order some Viva La Vida cigars, they will hook you up.
Most definitely.
They are stocked up. They even have the Club 500, or at least they did Saturday.
Yeah, because I had a visit today.
You didn't buy them all, did you?
I didn't buy them all,
okay.
But I could have. And, you know, you have to have a sharing mindset. You know, there are other people they may like, but let me go back in there Monday or Tuesday, and they're still there. You don't have to worry then. I gave you an opportunity. You didn't take it? Sorry.
Now I don't feel bad.
Nope. I gave you an opportunity.
Right.
You didn't get it. So sorry.
All right. So let's get on with episode 104. So I know you've prepared some notes to go by. Let's go ahead and, Marvin Gaye says, let's get it on.
Start off with your pick six.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who's going first?
I'll let you go first.
As usual.
Always.
My number one was the Leva V-Series Lancero. And guess who was smoking one today?
I know, my son.
Yeah.
Oh, Luke Jones is over there smoking the Oliva V.
Yes, sir.
And he's smoking the Lancero.
Enjoying it.
Because he's dainty.
No, it's just a great stick, man. Number two, La Gloria Cubana Series R. We know about that. A great stick. Enjoyable from the first light all the way till you stick your poker in it, which Rob's sitting there looking like, here we go with the poker again. But man, this is just an enjoyable stick. I love it all the way through.
Now, which one was that?
Number two.
No, what was the cigar?
La Gloria Cubana Series R.
I haven't had one of those in a long time. I prefer the N Series.
N Series, that's a good stick too.
It's a little darker.
Yeah,
but both of them are good sticks.
Gotcha.
But go ahead.
Last one, McAuliffe.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Dude, I had two of them this week.
You know, that
was it has to make the list.
That was in the list of the top 10 for under 10 last week. That's a great stick. Larry, have you been smoking any more of those? The McAuliffe A?
No, the question should be, Larry, have you bought any more of the smoke? Because he smoked some, but they weren't bought they by
came,
him.
They came out of your humidor? Okay, fair enough. All right, so I've got a list of boutique cigars that I've smoked.
Okay.
That you probably never heard of. The first one out of the gate is from, I could mispronounce this because I've never heard the name of it, but it is Barretta Cigars, and it's the Habano Don Chico.
Never heard of it.
I posted a picture of it. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Anyway, they sent me a pack of 10 cigars, and they were fantastic.
Did you hear? I just sit there and said,
did you get one
of those? He's going to ask, did I get? And I just said, I never seen that before. So how have I never seen it and I got one? They sent a pack of 10 and you smoked all 10.
10? How many did you get? None. Luke didn't get any. How many did you get, Brian?
None.
Oh, so you smoked 10. I might have smoked all of them.
No, ain't no might. There's no might in that at all.
I think I
that was a for sure statement.
I'm pretty sure I gave one to Ed.
See, you said pretty sure. That still tells me that's a lie.
It could be. Yes. So here's another cigar. Let's move on to number 2.
Yeah, we have to.
Okay. So number 2 is the Big Sky. Did you see this
one? Yes, I've smoked that.
You smoked that one? Where'd you get that?
It came in one of those boxes I got.
Oh, okay, cool. No, that was the blue one.
No, I got a green one. Oh. I don't know which box it came in, but it was after the blue one.
Anyway, that was a real... In fact, this is my favorite cigar that Big Sky's made.
Okay. I can see that.
By far.
I can see that.
By far. And then I'm going back to one of my new go-tos. The McAuliffe Experiencia.
Okay.
No. Not the Medallion.
I know, because you said one of my new go-tos, you say McAuliffe. You're like, yeah, that's not new.
I said Experiencia. Excuse me. The Herencia Habano. Dude, I am loving that cigar.
That Habano is a great stick.
I am a huge fan of that. Yes. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, it's given the McAuliffe Medallia a run for its money as far as my go-to.
Man, folks are dropping dead. Medallia. You talking about another stick?
I'm telling you right now, that is giving a run for the money on the Medallia, the Habano.
Wow. That's all I can say.
To put it up there with the Medallia.
For you, yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't tried the Herencia Habano, you need to try one. It will knock
the socks
off. I have,
so I know it's a good stick. But those that haven't, he's telling you the truth. You need to try it. You really do.
You know what? Here's what I like about it. It's full body. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of flavor, a lot of complexity. But the difference between that cigar and the Medallia is, for me, the Medallia has a little more sweetness to it. The cocoa, the sweetness, to where the Habano has more of the spice.
It takes you back to your beginnings.
Yeah, it really does.
That hit, that pop. It's a good stick,
it's
man.
It's been lights out awesome.
It's a good stick.
So, anyway, that is the pick six. Yes, we will have Luke put those in the show notes of the YouTube channel. So if you want to go by the YouTube channel, you'll be able to see the pick six this week. And definitely give them a try. I mean, I've lifted off 3 cigars that have not been on my pick 3 before.
True.
So.
Even though you scared us with McAuliffe, we just knew.
You thought I was going Medallia.
Another M was coming out.
You thought I was going Medallia. Yes. I get that. So, what's up? Whoa. Almost a party foul, but I saved it. Did you see that?
You can tell the truth.
That larceny there.
They will not waste a drop of alcohol.
That was skill. Did you see that? Did you see that, Larry? Thank you.
Dude,
I ain't no rookie.
That's the will to survive. He was like, it can't.
Dude, I knocked this glass over, and before it spilled.
Yeah, I saw it. Pew, I noticed.
I was like Flash.
Fat Flash.
You know what? I'm done. Pull the plug. Show's over. I'm leaving.
Luke said he'll fill in.
Wow.
Man, I love it.
Hey, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out.
I love it, man. I love it. We're going to talk now about three things you missed from the 80s and 90s. Now, that is a period for us. It was teenage coming into, you know, our 20s. So there were things that were going on that were still a part of our molding. So, you know, think back.
Here's
think
the funny back. Thing is, whatever we name, Luke doesn't even know about.
No, he don't.
He was born. Truthfully, in, you know, yeah. He was born in 2000. January.
2 years older than my youngest.
January 10th of 2000.
Wow.
He's a millennial. 100%. Not a millennial. Millennium.
Him, yeah.
He was born on the millennium. Baby. Yeah. And he was born January 10th. So that's 01-10-00. So anyway, he doesn't know about what we're fixed to talk about.
Nope.
So I'll tell you right now, and I don't miss much out of the 90s. Uh-huh. I'm more of the 80s.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the 80s.
Okay.
You know, the great thing, first of all, is the music. The music. Now,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Now, let me clarify that. When I was in the 80s, though, I was listening to a lot of rock and roll from the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it was your time, so it was not like
I wasn't going back in time. That stuff was still popular.
It was your time
when you were listening to Led Zeppelin
most
in the 80s. It was still relevant.
Yes,
and I mean it's what they played on the radio. Mm-hmm.
KC95, baby.
FMX 94.5, baby.
Man.
So that's one of the things that I miss, and I'll tell you this, like I don't miss the music that was made in the late 90s or late 80s. Like when you look at Van Halen, when you look at Poison, when you look at all those hair bands.
Yeah. You didn't like the hair bands?
I did at the time.
But now
when I go back and listen to it, I'm like, it's so cheesy.
Not to Van Halen, not to me. Yeah, Whitesnake, you know, those other groups you take. Yeah, I can see the cheesiness. But Halen, nah.
No,
bro.
Even Halen
from
me.
Diamond Dave all the way
now,
through.
Don't,
man.
Dude, let me tell you something. I was the biggest Diamond Dave fan you ever saw. I mean, I told you, when you went into my bedroom, you could not see the wall because I had either pictures from magazines or posters on the wall, and you could not see the wall.
Yeah.
It was all guitar players, singers, the whole nine yards. But when I go back and think about what was really just genuine, awesome music of the 80s, well, even of the 80s, I mean, I'm looking at more at like bands of like Iron Maiden, Ozzy Osbourne.
You went metal.
Well, you know what? It was metal of the time, but when you listen to it now, it doesn't sound like metal at all.
No,
it sounds like music.
Yeah, because that has transitioned totally, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So give me something that, I mean, now.
From the 80s?
Yeah.
The end of the 80s to the beginning of the 90s, what I really missed was wearing pro jerseys. We wore every pro jersey. I had every pro jersey almost there was. Football, baseball. I didn't wear basketball because I didn't like wearing tank tops all the time. But
I figured you'd be wearing crop tops.
I'm not Ezekiel
letting your
Elliott.
Boobs hang
I'm
out.
I'm not Ezekiel Elliott.
I got you.
And during the 80s and 90s, I didn't have boobs because I was still a
you
football player. Yeah.
Back then you had pecs.
Yeah. I had things that attracted women, repelled them.
Yeah, I forgot. I did have pecs at one time. I used to have pecs.
Yeah, I used to have. Yeah, so it was just, you know.
Now I'm a B cup.
It was everybody that I knew. We had football jerseys, baseball jerseys, and we wore these sweatshirts that were IOU sweatshirts.
Now, see, we didn't really wear jerseys.
Dude,
I mean, there was the occasional guy that wore a jersey, but it was not our thing.
The end of it for me was when FUBU came out with the jerseys, the football jerseys. I was like,
"See, we
nah, bro, I can't put that on."
Yeah, we wore mostly like
Cowboy
concert.
Jerseys.
No, concert t-shirts.
I had a lot of friends that were the black concert t-shirt.
Now, you also have to remember that whenever I was in high school, I had like hair down to here.
Yeah, we saw that picture.
Yeah. And so, you know, we were the rock and roll thugs.
We were some of the last ones that wore cummerbunds to our proms.
I wore a cummerbund.
That's what I said. We were some of the last ones to wear cummerbunds to
our
proms.
You saw my pink tuxedo.
Yeah, bro. Come on now.
I was hitting it.
Yeah, you was hitting something. I don't know if it was it, but you was hitting something.
Yeah, so I would say the music, you know, it was the end of an era. Going into the 90s, now don't get me wrong, now that I listen to some of the more of the 90s music, I dig some of it.
Yeah.
Some Soundgarden, some Alice Chains, some STP, you know, those bands was doing some good music.
Gotcha.
What I didn't like about that era of music, though, you didn't have the quality guitar soloist.
No.
You know what I mean?
Because everybody didn't hone their craft, like, with, you know, rest in peace to Mr. Van Halen. You had guys that honed their crafts with that stick. They took pride. They sat back for hours and hours and hours and did things that people didn't think could be done with a guitar. You know, they hit riffs and they would hit chords. They're like, how did his fingers do that? Well, it takes time. You see what I'm saying?
It takes time.
Yeah, and they took the time to master
but
that.
Like, when I think of, like, guitarists, I think of, like, Jimmy Page, mm-hmm. Randy Rhoads,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. Yeah. You know, those guys took the guitar
to another level, and
they had their own style.
Oh, yes, because you could tell.
Nobody could, you could duplicate.
Here's the thing that I loved about them. They could take someone else's music and still be on the guitar, and you could tell that was Randy Rhoads doing that.
Right.
It wasn't his music, but you could tell by his finger, the way he did it.
Well, and then how many people copied Randy Rhoads?
Oh, shit, almost everybody.
You know, that he, and you know, I don't know if you know this, but Ozzy Osbourne had Randy Rhoads. Mm-hmm. Did you know that after Randy Rhoads died, Ozzy Osbourne said, I'll never have a single guitar player again, and that's why every tour he had a new guitarist, mm-hmm. because he knew he could never have another Randy Rhoads
that could top him. Nope, he knew it. Yep, I'm with you. I know.
So anyway, I guess the other thing is, you know, I didn't realize at the time, but the cars.
Ooh.
The cars of that time.
But and then here's, again, no,
wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Before you go anywhere, the same with the music, with the same with the cars. Because the cars from the 60s and 70s were still cool,
yes.
and cheaply,
yes.
and cheaply, yes. available in, yes. the 80s.
Yes. Yes.
I had a 72 Chevelle as a sophomore.
In high school.
Yeah, I never made it to a sophomore in college, so there's no confusion there. But anyway, I had a 72 Chevelle. We paid $2,200 for a perfectly...
Yeah.
non-molested 72 Chevelle, and you know, at the time I thought this was an older car,
mm-hmm. but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, it was like 14 years old.
It wasn't,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, now that you look and you're like, wow, 72 Chevelle now is like, mm-hmm. what, 40 years old?
Yep.
Boom.
And try to get one for 2000.
You might be able to get a set of wheels.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you do, you can rob somebody.
Right.
And that's just the mindset. Mine went to, and I'm a product.
So I know you had an IROC. You had a Mustang.
Yes.
And which were in the 80s.
86, both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them.
So, I mean, and you know, I had a good friend that had an 86 or 87 IROC. Phenomenal cars for their time.
Yes. I mean, it's still a phenomenal car now, but you'd have to do a lot of tuning.
But when you got into the 80s, you no longer had the big blocks.
No.
You know what I mean? Those were gone.
See, because the IROCs, the 86 was a 305, which
right.
was a 5.0. And then you went to 87, 88, and then 89s went back to the 5.7s, which is the 350s.
Right.
But the Mustang I had was a SVO, which folks were like, oh, man, that's just a four-cylinder. That's why I only race you in a quarter.
But it had the turbo.
Yes, because in a quarter, you wasn't going to catch me.
Right.
I wouldn't race anybody longer than a quarter. Now.
Well, who was racing longer than quarters?
You had folks that are like, oh, man, let's go a mile.
No,
what?
A mile.
For what?
That is not a race.
So your top end can kick in, and then you can walk me down. Nah, bro.
No, the mile.
It needs to be quick.
Nobody races a mile.
Dude, they did.
I know, but that
they
was
did.
Just.
It was crazy, man. And, you know, with. That Mustang, bruh, in a quarter, you couldn't do. I had a friend that bought an 89 brand new. He changed the headers. He put new gears in the rear, a short shifter, because mine already had the short shifter. He put the pit bull chip in there. He was running hard after a quarter mile.
Right.
After a quarter mile.
Let me tell you this. This blew me away. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine bought a brand new GMC pickup last year, and it is the top of the line, all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it costs because I'm poor, but stock,
yeah,
it runs a 12.35 quarter. Mm-hmm. Dude, a 12.3, dude, we didn't know what 12.3 second quarters were back in the 80s.
Nope.
We thought 13, 14, and 15, somewhere in there. You had a hot car. Yeah. A brand new truck that runs a 12.3.
You're talking about a pickup, which
that's
is light,
crazy.
Lighting the behind, so it's you got to keep it on the ground.
Dude.
Yeah, bro.
Today's technology with vehicles blows away what we had.
Come on.
But
my son
the
has,
carburetor, the headers, you know, and we could do our own things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could work on your car.
Yep.
You can't work on your car anymore. Those days are over.
You have to take it to somebody now.
Right. I mean, if you can work on a car now, you have a NASA rocket engineer degree.
Yeah. My son, he has that, was it a 2018 Scat Back, the Charger Scat Back?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard-running car. But like I told him, I was like, I come out with an EMP. You sitting still. But guess what my IROC would do?
Right.
Keep running, baby. It's just, all technology, man. We went in there. He bought this oil cleaner to put in there. Because evidently, with those Hemis, they get shavings in there every once in a while. So we had to put an oil cleaner on there.
You mean in the oil pan?
Mm-hmm. But this goes up from the receiver to something else. It's under the hood. Right up on top of the block. When he popped the hood on anything, I was like, man, I ain't messing with this. He said, oh, Dad, I looked at YouTube. I said, yeah, you can do it. That's your car. I'm not touching this, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude.
So, hey, there is a YouTube channel that I've become a big fan of, and I'll see if I can find it right quick. But it is actually a car lot. I want to say the car lot is in Alabama. But they only sell like classic muscle cars.
Uh-huh.
And they do a phenomenal job. Every car they come in, they do a complete walk around talking about it. And they show you every defect or imperfection they can find on the car. And then they give you a ride along. And then they do some peel outs and show you what it can do. And their cars are actually affordable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I say affordable, that doesn't mean I can afford one because I got kids.
Yeah.
You know, I got a 20-year-old son and I got a 19-year-old daughter in Australia. I'm broke. But anyway, you can pick up a nice 60s or 70s car anywhere from like 14 to 30.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's not outrageous.
No, it isn't.
And the other day they had a 67 Cornette that looks like a GT. A GTX.
Yes.
And it had a 386, something like that. 383, that's right. Big Dick Larry over there, he knows.
He knows.
So anyway, I mean, and it was priced at like 22, which was phenomenal. Ooh. At a price. Yes. And then when they did the walk around, he showed some like imperfections. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as a daily driver...
Bruh,
I never want a show car.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
I got to be able to drive it.
That is not my thing. And so, yeah, I want to be able to drive it. I want to be able to enjoy it. And if you got a show car, there's no way that you can, you know, enjoy it.
You can't get the insurance to enjoy it.
Right.
Because it's only parades and...
I've got a very good friend who's retired that has a 66 Chevelle with a 396 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a special package put in. It's got about 700 horsepower. Mm-hmm. And he brought it up to work one day, and I was just drooling.
Uh-huh.
It's canary yellow with the chrome head scoops on the side. And then he's got the black vinyl top. Super looking good 66 Chevelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drooling over it, and he tosses me the keys. He's like, take it for a drive, man. And I was like, nah, man, I can't drive this. And he was like, no, serious, that's take it. Dude, I took that for a drive. First of all, I was nervous. But second of all, let me tell you, you know how hard it is to get traction on a 700 horsepower motor? I was like, dude.
And what tires did he have on it? Street tires?
He had street tires on it.
You can't get traction with
but
that,
dude,
man.
Let me tell you something. Cruising around by myself in that 66.
Took you back to
Oh, it did. It did. You know what was nice? No music. That motor
just listening
was
to
all
it.
The music
listening
I needed.
To that and the road is the most, that's the greatest music ever, man.
I didn't need no tunes. All right, what's our next subject?
We didn't even finish that one.
Oh.
See? The next one for me that I missed, because I was an Army brat. My dad was, he was in Vietnam and everything. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, he got shot over there. He bled out. He actually died. They brought him back. And then they had to fuse his kneecap.
Now, were you born before or after?
Before.
Before, okay.
He got shot in 73.
Oh, wow. So he was there at the end.
Yeah. And he came back and...
Now, was he in the Army?
He was in the Army, yeah. And all I hung out with were kids that were brats, Army brats, Army or Air Force brats.
Right.
Because Scott Air Force Brace was right.
That's the way it was,
So we used to get a lot of stuff that I remember from the 80s and... We wore in high school. They were Korean sweatsuits because they were made in Korea. The service members.
All right. Well, first of all,
Korean
sweatsuits. I got to Google that because I don't know what that is.
You could get it any way you wanted it, bro. Because it was the service members that were in Korea. They go to them shops. I need a sweatsuit for my son. I need a sweatsuit for my nephew. I want this on it. Want that on it. And you talking about some extravagant sweatsuits we wore, man. I'm like,
so were they like all crazy?
Dude, you talking about embroidery across the entire thing. You got eagles wings on the back. Your picture on the front, you know, your name going down one leg. I'm talking about it, it's all stitched. You know what I'm saying? Something that you, if you bought here, you'd pay like $300-$400 for. He was getting it over there for what? A bag of rice and a cup. But no, it was just cheaper over there. But they sent you sit there and wait on your friends and stuff, man. And you'd be like, I got a box coming. Where? From
so does
Korea?
That look kind of
somewhat like it. Somewhat like it.
So let me show that to everybody. Somewhat,
but they were. It's not the material, because that's just material. This was embroidered. They would embroider.
So is that like the fighters
that came in?
Remember that they had like lions and tigers and stuff embroidered.
When I went across and became a Mason, my dad had a friend of his sent to Korea to get my jacket. Yeah, anyway, to get my jacket. And the jacket that they sent to me, I was like, oh my God. And he said, you know where I got it? I said, yeah, I'm looking. I know where this came from. It's straight out of Korea. He's like, yeah. It's just the way they do things over there because, you know.
Dude, let me tell you this.
It's weird.
Let me tell you this. Before you got here. Uh-huh. I was out here, this is funny, I was watching the Cowboy game, and I told you I watched 5-10 minutes, turned it off.
Yeah.
I went to YouTube, and I watched a woman from some small third world country that was, I can't remember. But anyway, she built an underground house by herself, like digging a hole down in the earth, chiseling out a full kitchen, like a stove and a bed, and then the roof and bamboo and plants. It was just crazy. And the whole time I was thinking about it, I was watching this going, Big Larry needs to go over there, man. That's where you can find a wife, Big Larry. I mean, a woman who builds a house, she cooked a fish. Bowled the water. Yeah, it was like the primal building of stuff. But this woman took it to a level I've never seen before. Yeah, that's what it was on there. Yeah, it was amazing. Dude, this house, and I'm going to guess it was probably 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Dude, it was freaking. I mean, she planted plants. She painted. She used stucco techniques barehanded. I was like, if I wasn't married, man, I'd find that woman, bring her back to the States. Larry's on his way.
He's on his way now.
And dude, I'd never seen that before.
Oh, I've seen it,
dude.
I talked because it's like you said. I watched those YouTube channels. I saw two young guys. They went and straight just took the earth and dug in.
Pass me that glass.
And dug them a 2-bedroom apartment that they made with a swimming pool. You do it if you don't give me another glass, man. You starting to act like Larry for real.
I could have kept both of them.
I know. But it's just those Korean sweatsuits were a style for us because, you know, it was the beginning.
Oh, we're back on that?
Because it was the beginning of hip hop and everybody wanted to jump in Adidas sweatsuits and everything. Ours was just like different.
Do you remember the 90s got ruined
by
you know, Hammer Time?
You say parachute pants.
No, I wore parachute pants in
the 80s. I never did. I never wore parachute pants.
I was poured white.
It didn't matter. I was poor.
We thought that was cool.
Bruh.
You know where I used to shop?
You know what's cool for us?
Dude, you know where the name of the store at the mall was called Chess King.
And Larry shaking his head. Yeah, I know where that is.
You remember Chess King?
Dude, Chess King had like parachute pants in every color.
Nah, bro.
Every color.
We wore Levi's and Dickies.
I can't even say sport coat because it was more like a yuppie.
You were going to church if you wore a sport coat.
Yeah. It was not for that. In fact, I remember going to Chess King whenever I graduated high school, and I used to go to bars when I was 19. And I bought a shirt that looked like a puffy pirate shirt. It had all these like ruffles in the front. It had these giant big sleeves that would fit Lou Ferrigno. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, he wore a blouse. For real?
It was a blouse. But I also had black pants and these black cowboy boots, with the pointed toe with the silver metal tips.
Come on, man. No.
And I used to go.
You just destroyed
Hey, and.
I'm looking.
We went to a club called The Planet. It was techno. It was, you know what? I was finding myself.
No, you were trying to follow Patrick Swayze. You was Roadhouse.
I was Roadhouse. You know what?
Dude.
And no. I don't miss those days.
No, I miss the Swissers, but days. I promise you, I don't miss your day. My last one was, and we were talking about it earlier.
Oh, you got another one?
It said three things.
Oh.
And we were talking about it earlier. I want me another boombox, man.
Oh, yeah. We were looking at boomboxes. And you guys, let me tell you something. Before Brian came over today, I had no idea. If you want to buy a retro boombox from the 80s and it's in good working condition, you're talking $700, $800. So if you got a boombox tucked away in your closet, you email me because Brian is on the hunt.
And the thing is, most of those at $700, $800 are not in good working condition. They're not.
I'm trying to help you out, bro.
I pray that they can get. Because, man, they had a late Sonic Brian, song that was like $3,000.
Because Brian's got $200.
Yeah.
That's what Brian's got.
That's my budget. That is my budget.
I found him a couple of wooden sticks and a speaker for $200. So, anyway. So, you know I love retro.
Yeah.
And I love vintage. Our stereo system here in the studio is a DBX system from 1984. We got Sirwin Vega speakers with a 15-inch sub.
Man.
I mean, we can rock out.
The thing is, when I got to...
But you can't take it anywhere.
No, you can't. When I got to Permanent Party in Fort Lewis, the first thing I bought me was a stereo. I went and got a Marantz receiver.
And I love Marantz.
And I got a Marantz double cassette player. And I had a partner that just got back from Germany. And he sold me 2 Sirwin Vegas for $400.
Bargain.
It was a bargain.
All day long. You don't want to know what I paid for this system.
Dude, when I say you've turned that sucker on 4.
Have I told you what I paid for this?
Nah.
I shouldn't tell everybody. I didn't pay a dime. I made a trade.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you was doing
the
trade.
I traded 1 SKS rifle and 2 AK-47s.
For that?
For that stereo and those Sirwin Vega speakers. That's about a $3,000 system.
I was just going to say, that's about $3,000.
Yeah, that's what I traded for that stereo system.
Wow.
But the guy that I got it from an Air Force guy.
Yeah.
that he had bought that system in 1984
and still had it.
Not just still had it. No, it was still new in the box. Ooh. The Air Force guy had brought it to a storage unit, brand new in the box, and left it in there until 2010. Wow. The guy that I got it from bought it from him, and he had it for 6 years, yeah. And then I got it from him.
Wow.
But, yeah, so basically it's a brand new unit. Well, 10 years old now.
Wow.
But DBX, I don't know if you know DBX.
I do.
They go back, they were the shit.
Them, Marantz, freaking... People talk about Panasonic now, but Panasonic had a run, man.
See, I think I would have gone with no. I don't. I think Panasonic, you're thinking of Pioneer.
Pioneer.
Yeah,
Pioneer.
Panasonic sucked.
Yeah, Pioneer.
I was Pioneer, fixing to slap you.
JVC.
Dude, God. Back in my day, I told you I had a Sony stereo, yeah. And even Sony was
still is.
Sony was your poor man's best studio, yeah. Your best stereo.
And the thing was, it elevated itself past that to the point where people were spending major bucks for Sony equipment, man.
You know, I talked to a guy who does professional audio.
Uh-huh.
And you know what he says the biggest, I don't want to offend anyone out there that's a big fan, but he said, you know what the biggest scam of American audio is? Bose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody knows that.
It's okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
You know, he is like a he installs stereo systems into multi-million-dollar mm-hmm. people's homes.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what about Bose? And he busted out laughing.
Yeah.
He was like, Bose sucks,
man.
And I was like, really? I thought Bose was good because it's so overpriced.
Yeah, because they play it up that way.
Right. So I didn't know that.
I take a Blaupunk over a Bose.
A Blaupunk?
Yeah.
What's that?
In every Volkswagen, Porsche, and Audi.
Gotcha.
In every Volkswagen, Porsche, and Audi is a Blaupunk, baby.
All right. So let's get on to the next topic.
Next topic.
Whoa. What? We're at an hour.
Yeah, that's a good conversation.
Okay. All right. I guess we're going to wrap it up. And don't forget, guys, if you made it this far in the show, you might be one of the few that remember.
Yes.
Take a photo with a Viva La Vida contact. Tag Cigar Talk Rob, Cigar Talk Bryant, Artisanal Tobacco. Yes. And we're going to randomly select one of those photos from Instagrams before episode 106. Mm-hmm. And you win our Cigar Talk swag, which is a travel humidor.
And a little bit more that we're not going to tell you.
Yeah, that's going to be a little something.
And as we say, once you get it, please take a picture of it, send it to us on Instagram so we can, you know, it's about letting people know that we're true about this.
Yeah.
We're not like some others that say things and don't do it.
Like Cigar Pulpit.
I'm not saying nothing.
I'm totally messing with people. You know, we love Cigar Pulpit.
Dude, you just threw them out there like, dude, that bus is still running.
Dude.
Those tracks are still
Hold
pressed.
On. Let me throw it in reverse. Like the good cigar. Oh, no, wait. All right.
Let's do it.
Let's do are you ready?
Yes.
We're not even going to tell everybody what we're doing. We're just going to do it. Happy trails to... No, that's the wrong song. Yeah. Wrong song.
First word right, second word incorrect. All right,
I'm going to let you do the honors.
No, man, I can't sing anymore.
Oh, shoot, man, you sound like...
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to the best part of the good cigar, Melissa. We are big fans of you and not so much of your husband, but we love you and we love your show.
And
so happy birthday, Melissa. Take care. And until next time,
keep smoking.